Come on, man. I don't have any time for that.
What does time have to do with it?
Oh, you're gonna think I'm crazy.
We might be childhood friends, and I might drive you around the bend, but I'm sure it's crazy kid to work it out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose, but I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows.
Time travel sound effect. Time travel sound effect. Time travel sound effect.
Whoa.
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 Jeff.
Elmer.
We're back in our original timeline, and I can finally reveal who we are.
Good. And I mean, I obviously know, but I imagine sometimes it's helpful to just air these things so we can kind of really take stock of it together.
Yeah,
so,
time cops.
Yes. Yeah. We are, as we both know, and as anyone who might be listening.
And have been, and we've had this bit figured out since the start, actually.
Yeah, we've had it figured out. Yes, from the beginning. We knew what we were doing with it and what the point of it was. Early on, and I think as is apparent every time we've appeared on the show, it's clear that we knew what we were doing with these guys. And the thing we can now reveal, in case it wasn't obvious to everyone, is that we are time cops like Jean-Claude Van Damme.
In Time Cop.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what we've just been investigating these time crimes. We're looking for paradoxes, temporal anomalies.
Or otherwise.
Yeah. And we're vanquishing them with our time cop powers. What does he have? Like a gun?
It's a time-ish gun. It's been really... I honestly literally saw it in theaters when it came out, and that's the last time I watched it. So.
1994?
Yeah, something like that. I watched it with my dad. We both liked it.
Yeah.
I'm so Jeff. Elmer. We're time cops.
Yeah, my name is Elmer.
Yeah.
Like, Chrono Blaster.
Oh, okay.
Officer... Elmer Chrono Blaster.
Okay, that's cool.
And we're time cops. We're not like regular cops, okay?
Yes. And I'm Lieutenant Jeff Humperdinck.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Cool name.
Yes.
Is that a family name?
It's a family name, yes.
Oh, okay. I renamed myself in the great memory wipe of 2825.
I didn't realize we were allowed to do that.
Maybe you weren't there for the great memory wipe of 2825.
It's difficult to know. There's a lot of lore surrounding us and surrounding our travels through time, obviously. We don't have time to get into all of it, but we will be getting into a lot of it, I think.
Yeah. Hello and welcome to...
Time Crimes.
Jeff and Elmer's Time Crimes.
Yeah.
We are time cops and investigators, and we go from spot to spot.
Yeah.
In time and space, and we snuff out time crimes.
Yeah, and other paradoxes.
We've been, I mean, we were in this, like, this hotel with, like, doing that in the audience of a play.
Mm-hmm.
That turned out to be a pretty, like, instrumental exchange those two people had. It really had ripples throughout history.
Yeah, it's on IMDb. Look it up.
Where else have we been? We were at that one like sleepaway camp where all those like young kids were like dancing so horny.
Yeah.
We prevented a lot of births that night just by our presence.
Did. Yeah.
And some of those people, some of those babies would have grown up to be dictators.
Yes.
And now we're here.
Yes. And now we're here at the lake house.
The mid-2000s.
In the mid-2000s, and we're at the lake.
What's
house.
Happening? Tila Tequila has a TV show, A Shot at Love.
Forbidden, though, has the most friends on MySpace. A lot of people mistakenly think that it's Tila Tequila, but in fact, looking at MySpace now, it's Forbidden who has the most MySpace friends.
That's someone's name, or their account is like
her
deleted?
Name is Forbidden.
And by that, do you mean like you're not going to tell me her name?
I don't know how more clearly I can say this. Her name is Forbidden, and she has the most friends on MySpace.
Currently,
yeah. It's 2000 and either 4 or 6, depending on...
Well, no, we're still in our future. We have to get our orders and be sent back to 2006.
Gotcha. Sorry. Yeah, I jumped.
Sorry, I think I misspoke earlier.
I think you misspoke.
I said we were
there. Okay, that's not confusing at all. Yes.
We have to introduce the podcast first.
Yes.
We're doing the podcast this week.
Yeah, we have a podcast. We're doing the podcast. Jack and Tanner needed a hard-earned week off.
It's usually about romance books and movies.
Yeah.
But we come in when there's any kind of time crime going down.
Yeah. And also other times.
And sometimes other times.
Yeah. And we're competent podcast hosts. We know what we're doing. the whiteboard has kind of created a different vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm hesitant to like make our first mark on it, you know? I want it to be perfect.
Yeah, so Elmer started our meeting. He discovered that there's some functionality in Zoom, which is the future time technology that we meet over. And Elmer discovered this just as we were going to start recording, that there's a whiteboard functionality. And so he shared a whiteboard with me. And my first thought, as you might imagine, was it's an audio medium. But Elmer was insistent that there's going to be a lot of hay to be made with this.
Just think of the possibilities. We can take notes in here.
Yeah.
We can like keep track of like little bits so we can come back to them later, you know? I think this is going to benefit us in the long run.
Okay, perfect.
It's definitely not distracting me.
It is distracting you, and I think we might have to abandon the whiteboard because you're just drawing a silly picture on it of a guy. It's a guy of some kind.
It's you.
Okay, take it off.
As you're about to see.
Take it off. This is not good. It's audio. I hate this because it's just going to be me feeling a need to describe what you're doing visually, which is my literal absolute number one least favorite thing.
Does that look like you?
No.
Sort of.
No, please stop.
You can't be objective.
Please stop. He's a fish. It's me as a fish. Okay.
I've disengaged the whiteboard.
Yes, thank God.
I think it was better to not have the whiteboard on because the tech is so sophisticated that to explain it to all of you would just be beyond your means.
Yeah, it might create some time paradoxes, and that's our
rule. And that's what we do.
We should say our rules. I'm Jeff, of course, and you're Elmer, and our first rule is do no harm, i.e. do not create any temporal paradoxes.
Yes, and then rule number two is if you do create a temporal paradox.
Yeah. Clean that one up before
back
you
in time
do
and kill yourself
else.
Like Looper.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Assassinate yourself.
That's right.
And then what's rule number three? Is there just the two
normally
rules?
With these things, rule number three says like see rule number one, you know?
Oh right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Really emphasizing it.
It's like I think
we do not talk about what are we called? Time crush.
Time crime.
Time crime. The time crimes unit.
Folks, we watched a movie this week. It's called The Lake House.
Yeah. And it was a time travel movie, and it was...
Fine.
I thought it was good. I liked it.
I liked it.
It was a little slow, and it was a little, like, artsy-fartsy, you know?
It's the long-awaited sequel to Speed.
Yeah. Definitely. Well, it's Speed 2.
Keanu's not in Speed 2.
Oh, is he not?
Here, you want to do a hot segment that I have?
Yeah,
the
please.
New hot segment. It's called Sizzling Hot Takes.
Okay.
Gay frogs.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Sizzling Hot Takes, and then your first one is Gay Frogs.
Gay Frogs.
What's your
is
second
kind of
one?
A given. My second one is that Keanu and Sandra would be such a great couple in real life, wouldn't they?
Oh, I would love that, actually. Yeah.
And why not?
Are they married, either of them, in 2022?
I think they're often unlucky in love. Here's what I'll say. So my cultural information.
I'm picking up some kind of interference.
It's the cat in the litter
it's
box.
It's like the time bubble is like
all the cats are
fluctuating.
All the cats are in here. It's too boring to talk about. We had to move cat feeding time to later because Jenkins was sneaking into Cyril's room and hiding in a place that it was impossible to get him out and then sleeping there until 3 a.m. every night and then waking us up to get out of Cyril's room. And so the solution is that I have moved cat feeding time. Okay?
What are you talking about, Jeff?
I don't know. I don't know what that was. I think it was a temporal anomaly.
Yeah, that happens. Happens a lot in this movie.
So my cultural knowledge ended about 10 years ago. But what I can tell you is that Sandra was dumped by a man named Jesse James, who's a tattoo man. And he cheated on her with a tattoo lady. And then you can see, if you watch the Oscars from recently, you can see the expression on her face that she knows that he cheated on her. You can see.
And this is...
Go back and watch it.
10 years ago or...
From recently.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he's still relevant, the tattoo guy?
I mean, this just happened as far as I'm concerned. and so that's Sandra's situation. And then Keanu's situation is he's just never found love.
Yeah, I think he's sort of a, I think what that's called a Sigma male.
Okay.
I think in sort of the PUA community, we call that sort of like lone wolf character, we call that a Sigma male.
So Elmer's in the PUA community. I'm just kind of trying to keep a lore Bible. I wish we had a whiteboard.
Here's an easy one for you, Jack. Any character that Tanner creates is in the PUA community.
Okay, perfect. Can I say something?
Yeah.
The litter box activity that you heard before, the temporal fluctuations.
Can't believe we're talking about it again.
That you heard before created an olfactory fluctuation that I absolutely must deal with. I can't continue to podcast.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, it does that. The time bubbles do that.
Deal with that now. You they can give either off keep a sting. Talking or I'll find a way to do a transition in post, but I have to clean it up right now. Okay, I've had a little time to think now, and let's check in. Are we doing a good job?
Of what? Being time cops, podcasters?
I guess both.
Fathers.
Either of those things. Yeah. Yeah. Let's take those one at a time.
I think
time
we're doing
cops, great job.
I think we're doing a great job of being time cops, and I think that then tips the next domino over.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is podcasters.
Okay.
Those two kind of, they go together, you know?
Yes. Yeah, you can't have one without the other.
If you manage to spin your romance-themed podcast into a hard sci-fi, like, time travel epic.
Yeah.
You're
doing something right.
Like, police procedural, right?
Okay, good.
Then I think we're doing something right.
Yeah, okay, good. And who would not want to have such a person as a father?
Right, exactly.
So, 3 for 3. Okay, perfect. The film is called, so are we're done, I think, with my hot takes, unless you'd like to disagree with it. Wouldn't they be such a cute couple? Wouldn't they be perfect for each other? Oh my God. I just swoon about it. Just thinking about it.
Yeah. I just like, I can't help but think that there's a reason it hasn't happened. You know,
how could
it not?
In
their history?
They're both so beautiful and nice. They're both so beautiful and nice. They're perfect.
And Keanu, he's a Sigma male, you know?
Oh, yeah, you were saying that.
He can't be tied down.
I remember being happy that you seem to have dropped the thread of whatever that is. Like, if you ever
you know
get into
an
a situation...
alpha male is, right?
No, here's advice for everyone. You want to explain it? I just want to give this advice. If you ever find yourself in a situation where you have classified the types of male beyond... the 19th letter of the fucking Greek alphabet. Like, you step back and ask yourself what kind of a person you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Omega Man.
A pickup artist.
Yeah, a pickup artist. So, yes, good. Agreed. They should be together. We'll work on it. Time cops, that's a job for the time crimes unit.
The time crimes unit, yes.
We should say what the film is. It's called The Lake House. I hope this is someone's first episode of the show.
Yeah. It's always like this.
It's always like this.
And our names actually are Jeff and Elmer.
Yeah.
Jeff Peabody, was it?
I said Humperdinck.
Humperdinck and Elmer
Chronoblaster.
Chronoblaster.
The film opens, man, talk about a time and a place. Opens with
I'm going to change the last. I'm going to change my last name.
Fine. So
Megabyte.
Am I then.
Elmer Megabyte? Megabyte.
Okay, fine.
That's pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, Megabyte.
Elmer Megabyte.
That's good.
Yeah, and who are you?
I'm Jeff Peabody. God damn it.
All right, Officer Jeff. let's go back in time and witness this series of events.
Yes.
Sandra Bullock.
Movie opens. Clientele is playing. Daddy said, turns to Sarah as the movie opens and says, "Holy shit, is that the Clientele?" And the comment was met with the same interest and sort of level of genuine awe and respect that I'm getting from you right now as well.
I would think that the music from this movie would be of little to no interest to someone of your musical taste.
I know. That's why it was interesting that it was the fucking Clientele opening this movie. It's kind of hip for 2006.
Yeah, it was like, you know, 2006 romance movie music.
When did it come out?
It takes place across 2004 and 2006, which we'll get to in a moment. Dr. Kate Forster,
yes,
has moved into the lake house.
Yeah, and she's...
Oh, no, sorry, she's moving out of the lake house.
She's doing a City of Angels, but she's doing it somewhat less emotionally and dramatically.
Yeah, and she doesn't see ghosts.
Like, sometimes a man dies and she, like, can't save him. She's like, oh, well, just another day at the office.
Yeah, I had a tough one today.
Being a doctor.
Yeah. This is also like that last movie we just watched, the anime.
Doity Dancing. Oh, yeah, it's a lot like it.
Why are there so many time-traveling romance...
Don't question it. You and I will be out of a job.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. She puts a letter in the mailbox and says, yeah, to the next resident, please, here are some foibles of the house, and if any of the mail comes, any of my mail comes, please forward it to me. Here's my address.
Dear new tenant, welcome to your new home. As a previous tenant, let me say, I hope you'll like living here as much as I did. I filed a change of address with the post office, but you know what a crapshoot that can be, so if anything slips through, would you please do me a favor and forward my mail? I'd appreciate it. My new address is below. Thanks in advance. P.S.
Sorry about the paw prints by the front door. They were there when I moved in. Same with the box in the attic.
Paw prints? What the hell is she talking about?
She's selling her house?
I think she has sold her house. Yeah.
And so she puts a letter in the mailbox.
She's gotten a residency in Chicago.
Yeah.
And the lake house is just outside of Chicago.
The letter is then picked up by the apparent next tenant of the lake house. It's the handsome and swoony construction architect named Keanu.
Yes.
And Keanu picks up the letter and he's like, oh, okay, this doesn't make a lot of sense. There are a lot of like things in your letter that I guess don't appear to have happened. But he responds. She's like,
right.
Okay, and then she responds, and she's like, your letter doesn't make sense.
She psychically predicts a couple of things.
Yeah.
As far as Keanu is concerned, whose name is Alex in the film.
Yes.
She says, I don't know where the dog tracks came from on the deck, mm-hmm, and I don't know what the box in the attic is. I've never opened it.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, well, there is no paw prints on the deck, and there is no box in the attic.
Yeah.
So I don't know what you're talking about, lady.
And then what is happening? It's magic. It's time.
It's magic. Come. Do we want to figure out? So you and I are. So now we're. Whoa! And now we're on a boat in the lake.
Okay.
Of the lake house.
Yes.
And we have our little telescopes out, and we're watching all of this unfold.
Okay. So can I? And we're going to try to unravel some paradoxes. Can I bring up the first and most obvious one?
Yes.
A thing happens in the film whereby they appear to be talking to one another in real time.
Yeah, and I guess they, yes.
Like, he'll ask her a question, she'll immediately answer it. He'll, like, start a sentence, she'll finish the sentence.
Yeah. It most notably comes up when she's doing a guided tour of Chicago at one point that he has put together for her.
Yeah.
And she's responding to him like in real time as he's showing her around the city, as though they were like walking around the city together.
Oh, wow. Number 27.
She's a beauty. My father used to tell me she was the grandma for all the houses in the city. He used to take me on walks like I'm taking you now.
Alex?
Caden.
I wish we could have done this walk together.
So that means that every time she goes to a new like spot on the tour,
yeah,
she reads his message, goes home,
puts a
writes
one
a response,
note, one like a one sentence note in the mailbox,
drives like 5 hours up to the lake house, puts it in the mailbox, and like waits for his response, and then like the next weekend we'll go out to see like the next site, right?
Yes,
we were just seeing like a montage of like presumably like 26 weeks.
But they seem fine with it. I think they're besotted with one another.
Do you want to know what the actual first paradox in this film
is,
Jack?
Yes, please. Yes. Jack?
The big thing is, like, he's 2 years in the past, and they're trying to, like, connect through time. And it's just about him like catching up to her. She knows where she is. She's in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just got to get through time to her.
Right.
But won't she get older too? Doesn't she continue to move through time too? Wouldn't she be in 2008, 2 years later?
Okay, so that's an interesting question.
Because then they would never actually meet in this film.
Yeah, but he
they
would just
need to meet.
He would meet 2006 her. I don't think the time is necessarily moving on parallel tracks. He would meet the 2006 version of her. That works.
But that doesn't make any sense because that would mean that he aged 2 years and she didn't.
Yeah.
That really bakes your noodle, huh?
No, but he can and does meet 2004 her.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So he goes and sees her. There's this whole plot. May I address something?
Yes,
please. We'll get back to having my noodle baked with this paradox, because I admit that it requires a little bit of unraveling.
Yeah.
From some philosophers. And we are philosophers as well. It's on our business cards. There's a persuasion subplot in this film.
Yeah, the persuasion subplot is also a pretty confusing little time twister.
And it's fraught with issues. A way that he proves to her that, like, once they start to suspect that they are talking to each other across the void of 2 years.
They took to it a lot quicker than the anime kids.
Yeah, they took to it pretty quickly, and they also they didn't even get to a point where they're like, I think I'm falling in love with you. They're like, well, if this is happening, therefore we must be in love, and just started acting that way.
Yeah.
Like, there wasn't a moment where they were like, I'm falling in love. They were just like, now we just have to find a way to be together.
Yeah.
But
star-crossed lovers.
But so, anyway, she's like,
my dearest Mr. Wyler, are you willing to play a game with me? 2 years ago today, I was taking the 145 train to Madison from the Riverside Station, and I forgot something there. It was a gift from my father. If you find it, can you please put it in the mailbox? It would mean a lot. Yours, Kate.
And he does. And there are a couple problems. One problem that comes to mind immediately is that it's a really ratty, almost deliberately shitty paperback version of Persuasion. It's like not a
Book. It's like, it's like something someone would get at like Barnes & Noble for like $6.
Yeah, it's like when you're like,
it's also new.
And there's like a nice Penguin Classics, and then like $2 cheaper is the like Barnes & Noble edition.
Yeah.
And it's one of those, and it's like the paper is like kind of like shiny in an unpleasant way, and like
I assume she meant like it was some heirloom that was passed down, and then he picks up like a shitty paperback.
No, it sucks. And then the second issue that just stuck in my craw a little bit is like, it's sweet, but it's like the Persuasion is supposed to have this like resonance for the movie where it's like Persuasion is about missing a chance and then waiting.
Right.
And that's what the movie's about. And it's not really.
This movie.
The Persuasion. It's like not really.
I never read Persuasion. What is it about if it's
we're gonna
not about
read
that?
It for this podcast.
Okay. We'll read it next.
I won't spoil it. It is a little bit about that, but
not
really the main thing that it's about.
Okay.
It's about Persuasion. But I just think they could have done a better job finding a book.
About like two people who are like
who missed
too
a
long
chance
and miss one another.
Yeah,
there's got to be one out there.
Yeah, Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
Sure,
you know
that's a good one. Yeah,
I haven't read it, but I think that's what it's about. You know, like
I think it's about traveling pants.
Yeah, they lost their pants, and then by the end of the book, hopefully they find them.
Let me see what the next paradox I wrote down is.
Okay, good. Yeah, we're going paradox by paradox.
The dog is a little tricky. I'll remind you, the point of this is to zero in on whoever is committing these time crimes and
we're going to neutralize them. Yeah.
Neutralize them is what I meant, not annihilate them.
Yeah.
The dog is a little tricky because Keanu names the dog. The dog shows up out of nowhere at the lake house while Keanu's working on it.
Right.
Steps in paint and like puts paw prints on the deck.
Yeah.
And then Keanu names the dog Jack.
Good name.
And then it turns out that it's actually Sandra Bullock's dog.
Of course, we all dress in shiny metal jumpsuits and drive flying cars, and no one talks anymore because we can read each other's minds. But the truth is, man from the past, not much has really changed in 2006. Speaking of the past, though, I've been thinking about the paw prints. How is that possible?
Well,
I think we have the same dog.
Oh, yeah? What's yours like? According to the vet, my's 8 years old in my time. 6 in yours. She's skinny, has sad eyes, snores, and sleeps like a person. I don't know why, but I call her Jack.
Hello, Jack.
Yeah.
Who has just always called it Jack. She doesn't know why.
And it responds, he responds to Jack.
And he responds to Jack, yeah. Oh, she responds to Jack. It's notable in the film.
The dog is a girl.
The dog is a girl.
She responds to Jack in Keanu's time, which doesn't make sense because she was only named Jack in Sandra's time.
Correct. Yeah. Or the dog, well, now I don't remember. Was the dog wearing a name tag as dogs often do? Because maybe Sandra didn't just like suddenly come up with the name Jack. Maybe she read it on the dog's name tag.
But
so I guess that's one time crime solved.
I guess so. It's still a problem that you and I are familiar with from somewhere in time, the film. She gives him a clock.
Yes.
So she gives him a clock and presses it into his hand, but then he gives it to her in the past. So where did it come from? Right?
Right. And that's the dog. Yes. And that's the story with the dog.
And that's the situation with the dog. Where did Jack come from? Is he, she always in a time loop?
And that's where did she go?
Yeah.
At the end of the film.
So that's maybe, I think, probably our chief suspect right now.
I think I'm starting to suspect so.
As this dog.
Let's see. So she's in Chicago now in 2006. He goes back to Chicago to like confront her, I guess.
Yeah.
Or like to bring the mail to her or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
And he hooks up with his brother because he's from Chicago and his dad is a famous architect and his brother is like interning at his dad's office. And they go to the corner where her building is being built and they see that it's not there and they finally realize like, oh, it's, you know, I just thought of another one.
Okay, perfect.
The tree in front of the building.
Suddenly grows. Yeah, so she's like, this building's boring. I wish it had a tree. And he's like, I'll plant one right now.
So he takes a tree from his, like, he's like a contractor on like a building development.
Yeah.
And he takes one of those trees and brings it to Chicago and plants it in front of her
and
apartment.
Then we watch it grow behind her in real
time. In real time,
yeah,
right.
It suddenly appears as if by magic. So that's a paradox.
That's a paradox because the tree either has suddenly appeared.
There. Yeah.
Or it has grown for 2 years.
Yeah. Or both.
And it was awfully big for a 2-year-old tree.
Yeah. Well, that's a separate issue.
Yeah.
Interesting. So there's a lot of time crimes going on.
That's the real thing that they screw up. It's like, you can't have it both ways. Something can't just be in 2006 and have aged. That's where they keep getting it wrong.
I don't know. I think that they're at least confronting the paradox of time travel head on.
Well, it's baking my noodle, and I'm a fucking time cop.
Yeah, no, this is one of our hardest cases yet.
What else happens? It's pretty like hijinksy because they just kind of keep doing these like grand gestures across time for one another.
It's sweet. I liked it.
I liked it too.
It's sweet. They like fall in love. It's kind of not expressed why or how they fall in love, but it becomes clear that they've become in love and they agree to meet and then they don't. And she's like, what the fuck? Why'd you stand me up? And it doesn't occur to her that maybe it's because he died.
He may have died. Right.
And it doesn't occur to her that at the beginning of the movie, a man did die in her arms and that man did indeed look exactly like Keanu Reeves.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was having lunch with her mother in like some, you know, downtown area of Chicago, and a bus hits Keanu Reeves.
We need an ambulance at Daly Plaza. A man has been struck by a bus. Get an EMT crew here. Sir,
get on the street. Get on the sidewalk. Get on the sidewalk. Get on the sidewalk. Get on the sidewalk.
Yeah. And like, that's the big, like,
it's the bus from Speed.
It's the bus. Yeah.
Finally got
it. Shit, was that me?
It was him in Speed. It's the one casualty. People that go back and watch Speed, it happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They
powerful.
Do hit a guy and it's, and yeah.
And it's
on their cross country journey from Chicago to LA where the film ends. And then they do a cute scene where they go on a tour of the city together and he has written in graffiti on like the side of a bridge.
So
like,
cute.
Dr. Kate, it was nice spending the weekend with you.
Yeah, lovely.
And it's like properly like aged and like plastered over with like posters and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That was good.
That was good.
She also tells him to go find a book, the book Persuasion.
Yeah.
at the train station. She left it there, and it was very precious to her, and he does find it, and he gets his first look at her, and she him.
And then so that, and that's, you know, look, it's the elephant in the room a little bit, and I don't want to dwell on it too much, but when you are having a cross-temporal romance with somebody who seems nice, like, you don't know what they look like.
That's true. Yeah, they are. It's their correspondence is completely letter-based.
And in fairness to them, they do fall in love and are committed to being in love without knowing what each other look like. And then fortunately for them, I guess, or not, I guess they don't care about these things. And that's really progressive and awesome. But they're both super fucking smoking hot. So that was fine.
Yeah. I just thought of something that we should do.
Okay.
Which is pitch a dating show that is this.
Okay. Okay.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Have a guy or have one of the people write, like, how would this work? We can do this. We can crack this nut.
Okay.
There's a way to do this.
Is it temporal in nature? Because that's where I'm getting hung up.
The temporal part is where I'm getting hung up. And I think that's just, you know, every problem is an opportunity.
Yeah. It's a good idea. I think if it does involve cracking the issue of time travel,
yeah,
it might be kind of dead on arrival a little bit. It's a concept.
I think that's the only thing holding us back. I think otherwise, this concept of, like, really writing letters across time would make for a really good dating show.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Good. We'll develop it. So when we go to the pitch meeting, we can be like, there's only, like,
that's not our job. We're the idea guys.
Yeah.
The one hurdle.
And that's something hopefully
the strategists will figure it out. You know?
Exactly. So if we said most of the film,
I think so, except there's a deep B. There's two competing B plots, which is that his dad is a jerk, and an architect, and is actually the guy who built the lake house.
Yes.
So Keanu and his brother kind of need to come to terms with, like, their mother's death and their father's being a jerk. And then his father does die, and Sandra Bullock sends a book back in time.
Somehow she puts it in the mailbox.
This is a paradox.
You know what they could do?
A biography of his father that someone has written that was published in 2006.
This is to elude dudes a little bit, but
yeah.
If she can put...
We're still allowed to do that.
Yeah, we're still allowed to.
Yeah.
If she could put a book in the mailbox and he can get it from the past...
Yeah.
He could put his ding-dong in the mailbox.
That's true.
I mean, once they get to know each other and, like, you know, if they talk about
it... If they're ready to take that step, you know? If they're ready, because I don't know, maybe you don't want to commit to someone until you've been intimate with them. Like, what if you're not sexually compatible?
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, it would be a solution to...
No, I'm saying that too.
Yeah, yeah. It'd be one solution. I think that
it's the responsible thing to do, if anything.
Yeah, it'd be maybe in the sequel.
Maybe she could send one of those kits where you make, like, a plaster cast of your boner.
Okay, yeah.
And they turn it into, like, a sex toy. She could send that back, and he could do a plaster cast of his boner.
That's sweet.
There's ways around this, and I think we're just sweetening the pot on this this dating show.
The dating show. Would you like to take a quick break, and then we can come back and look at some conflicting opinions about the film that I've discovered?
Yeah, please.
Okay.
Everybody, it's Jack again with a brand new update about the delightful family mystery mobile game June's Journey. I have been making real progress solving puzzles and getting stuff to put on my cool estate in the fun world of mystery, danger, and romance that's conjured up by June's Journey, a game set in the roaring 20s about a daring young woman named June who's traveling to her sister's estate to uncover scandalous family secrets and customizing her own luxurious estate island in the process. Tanner, unfortunately, is still pretty convinced by the ad brief we were sent that he has actually been assigned on a real secret mission to uncover the killer of June's sister, Claire. The good news is that after some extremely frustrating conversations with the unbelievably patient people at the Central Connecticut Steamship Authority, I was able to clear up the fracas regarding the steamship that Tanner rented. But the bad news is that, if I'm reading this hastily scrawled missive correctly, he appears to have gotten himself horribly lost in a hedge maze in Würzburg, which I think is in Germany. According to the secret code on the back of the letter, which, to be clear, he's just written this part upside down. He is in good spirits and he is hot on the tail of Grandma Heath, and I shouldn't worry, but could I please send him 40 ducats in an unmarked envelope so that he can bribe the butler, which sounds both complicated and questionably legal. I'm going to keep you guys posted on this, but in the meantime, you can discover your inner detective just like I have when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. I have to go. There is apparently a carrier pigeon at the door with a new message from Tanner.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We have, you and I, Elmer, have a hit segment where
Officer Elmer Megabyte.
Officer Elmer Megabyte, and I am, of course, Lieutenant Jeff Peabody.
Commanding officer, me.
Commanding officer, Elmer Megabyte. We have a hit segment on our...
CO.
Okay, we have a hit segment on our podcast where we... before we render judgment on the time crimes that have been committed and neutralize the suspect, or hopefully the culprit, but if we don't have a culprit, we'll neutralize our chief suspect.
Yeah.
That's just procedures in the time crimes unit.
Our nemesis is Carmen Sandiego, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah, that's who we're constantly sort of foiled by. She's our Moriarty.
Yeah, she's our Moriarty. That's a good lore. But we do like to consider all the evidence before we weigh in with our neutralizing rays.
Yeah.
And so I've assembled three pieces of evidence today in a hit segment that I'm calling On the One Hand.
Okay. Now I'm going to have to excuse myself.
Yeah. Okay.
Jeff.
Yes. Okay.
I need to go use the time bathroom.
Okay.
And that means I warp to some random spot in history and just go to the bathroom there.
Yeah.
It can be like the middle of the garden in Versailles. You
okay.
Know?
That explains a lot. Ugh, man.
I just pop in,
yeah.
Do what I need to do, pop back out.
Yeah, it reminds me of the time, which I've spoken about on the podcast before, that I was caught by my teachers faring sans blanche to Allée Vaissée in front of the French embassy on a school field trip.
What?
Well, and I remember
say it again. No, but say it again.
Faring sans blanche to Allée Vaissée. and I did
right.
have, I remember that turn of phrase because that's what I wrote in my letter to the French embassy that they made me send. It was Je suis désolé d'avoir fait semblance d'aller vaisser in the water fountain outside the French embassy.
Yeah. What does that mean, peed?
Well, pretending to pee.
Okay. That's funny, though.
Anyway, I got in a lot of trouble. It was in the
seventh
grade. I got in a huge amount of trouble. I had to write a letter to the French embassy. I've told that story before. That's what happens, though, with you. I should say, I'll say, a very nice member of our Facebook group, who is a Quaker, Baby B, and fan of the show, has humbly requested that Arbiter Tanner find peaceful ways to neutralize.
Arbiter, I don't know who Arbiter Tanner is. My name is... commanding officer Elmer Megabyte, and I'm actually about to hop back in time in one of my time bubbles like Terminator.
Okay,
and here I go.
Okay.
Whoa!
Okay,
where am I?
Where are you?
Well, I was cleaning up the mean streets of Mega City 456, rendering arbitration on everyone there, leaving reviews on movies.
Okay, so you're doing...
And I've suddenly just, like, there was a bubble surrounded me, and now I'm here.
And you are Arbiter Tanner.
My name is Arbiter Tanner, yeah.
Welcome. Welcome to our show. And Arbiter Tanner, as you know the drill here, what I've done is I've assembled three.
Oh, no, I don't have my crotch blaster this week. I must have left it in my time. I'll have to find a peaceful way to resolve this.
Maybe a light flogging.
Here's what I'm gonna do.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give a kiss to the one I like and withhold kisses from the ones I don't like.
Okay, that'll show them. Okay.
And that's what Arbiter
Tanner's. Are you sure that's peaceful? That's doing violence, if you ask me. But listen, here's what we do, and I'll say this now, because I went on Rotten Tomatoes and I found some reviews, but they're kind of expressing really different opinions across the spectrum. And on the one hand,
yep.
about this movie, Peter G gives the film 5 stars on
Peter
November.
Gabriel.
Yeah, Peter Gabriel. Peter
Genesis.
Gabriel took some time to give 5 stars to this film on November 19th, 2021. And what Peter Gabriel says is the following, and this honestly could be a Genesis song if you ask me. It's so beautiful. Lake House is insanely sweet and well thought out.
It's not.
Well,
that's why we're here. Or sorry.
Lake House is insanely sweet and well thought out. It's a shame some of the Ghostbusters 2016 cast didn't fuck off to 2 years before when making it, so it never got finished.
Lot to unpack. Let's go through it line by line.
Yeah. Lake House is insanely sweet.
And when was this review written again?
2021.
Like 2016, when everyone was angry about the all-female Ghostbusters?
2021.
Okay.
So Peter Gabriel's still pissed 5 years later. Yeah.
Okay. So he wishes that the people in... So he likes this film.
He loved it.
But he thinks it's missing something.
I think he thinks
he that... He wishes that the cast of 2016's Ghostbusters, a movie he fucking hates...
Were in the Lake
House
universe.
Were in this movie. And a movie he likes.
Maybe went back in time... Or experience this temporal paradox such that they couldn't finish the Ghostbusters movie, I think.
Yeah.
Is what he wants.
Okay.
So it's a hot take.
But by doing that, it's a witch's curse.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because by doing that, he has put the cast of 2016's Ghostbusters into the Lake House, a movie he's
a movie he ostensibly loves. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's tough. Yeah.
And that's a paradox, and that's why we're here.
That's why we're here.
Peter Gabriel.
So
I mean, sorry, that's why
Jeff
is here.
That's
I'm Arbiter
you're
Tanner.
You're Arbiter Tanner. Yeah.
I don't usually time travel, I just did this week.
Yeah. It happens.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm gonna introduce a new element to our hit segment called On the One Hand. As you know, we've got On the One Hand and then we have On the Other Hand, but today I'm introducing a new element to the segment, which is called On the Fence.
Okay. On the fence hand.
On the fence hand. I thought my way was more elegant, but that's fine. If that's what you think needs to happen for the segment, we'll keep it. On the fence hand, Joyce D says the following.
Nope,
she's
don't have any.
She's given 3 stars to this film. It's a measured review. On February 14th, 2014. So it was Valentine's Day, 2014. And Joyce D was
in the mood.
She was in the mood. She watched it to get... You know, whatever, in the kind of mood you need to get on
and
to start feeling on Valentine's Day. And then she kind of liked it. But she says the following, and I think I'm assuming that the 2 parts of her review explain why she's on the fence. One part is sort of wants to give it 5 stars. The other part wants to give it 1 star. And then that's how it evens out at 3 stars. Here's what Joyce D says. It's romantic, yes. But of course, not real.
Wow. That is tough, huh?
Yeah, dinged it for not being real.
Yeah.
On Valentine's Day. Yeah. that's tougher than even Arbiter Tanner gets.
Can I just really quickly, can we take one quick peek at her history and see if that's a common complaint of hers? Maybe she only like is only interview like only reviewing documentaries, and this is the first time she like watched a non-documentary and she's like, I liked it, but like,
yeah,
it clearly wasn't real.
It clearly wasn't real. Yeah, this seemed fake. I thought this was based on a true story. It's going to be hard for me to find her.
Okay, fine. So now we have on the one hand, now we have on the fence hand.
Yeah. And on the other hand, Andy P on October 14th, 2017.
Andy the puppet from those old Domino's commercials.
Andy.
Bad Andy.
puppet, yes. From
Bad, do you remember those Andy, Bad Andy commercials?
I do remember those Bad Andy commercials, yeah.
Andy P's Andy the Puppet.
Yeah. He gave it half a star, and he's kind of got an Andy the Puppet vibe in the way he talks.
Yeah, a little bit of an energy.
October 14th, 2017. This is possibly the worst movie ever made.
Okay. Have you seen Birth of a Nation?
I watched it on a plane twice before you got to choose what you watched.
It's literally about racism.
So I guess he's like, in 2017, he's like made a decision to go and review this film that he watched in 2006. Like he hasn't rewatched it. He's like, I'm going to go back and just fucking say what I thought of this. I didn't have the opportunity that.
Tying up some loose ends.
Yeah,
he's getting through his bucket list.
Maybe he's in a lake house situation. I think Andy P is in a lake house situation with someone from 2006, and he can only communicate to them through Rotten Tomatoes.
There's so much to tell you. I'm a puppet. I'm from Domino's commercials. Do you guys have Domino's in 2006?
Typically, movies are better on airplanes.
Is that true?
That's what he said.
I think there's an old This American Life bit about how people are more prone to crying.
That's true. And I do cry more. I'm more likely to cry.
I know. I watched you watch the Minions on an airplane once.
Absolutely lost it. Yeah. Typically, movies are better on airplanes than if not on an airplane.
Okay.
Not this one. It's essentially a movie about a magic mailbox where two people write letters back and forth from the past, etc. Spoiler alert, one of them dies and then doesn't die because of the mailbox. I stopped traveling internationally because of this movie.
He has sworn off the entire like medium of like in air travel.
Yeah. I thought that was funny. He was like,
because of the off chance that he might see a film he doesn't like.
It's a good tie 20 from Andy P. He crushed it. This was funny to me.
That's pretty good.
That's good. So Arbiter Tanner, who
I kiss
you give,
Andy P.
You kiss him.
Even though I disagree with his assessment of the film, I thought the film was a little slow, but fine.
Yeah. I think I'm where Joyce D is. It's romantic, yes, but not real. It kind of dawned on me as the movie went by that it's
and
not real.
Joyce and Peter Gabriel, you guys, I'm sorry to have to say, it's like being outside of God's light. You two are withheld from
unkissed.
Yeah, you're like Lucifer down in hell.
Should we review the film ourselves?
I think so. Yeah, I think I'm ready to do that. My judgment is passed. Do you want Arbiter Tanner to review the film or Commanding Officer Elmer Megabyte?
Can we have both of them? Or is that going to create a temporal paradox?
I think if I had to guess, and I haven't thought about the lore that much yet or the world building that much yet.
Yeah.
If I had to guess, Commanding Officer Elmer Megabyte just happened to jump into time where Arbiter Tanner was.
Yeah. Okay.
To use the bathroom.
Yeah. To Alivese
and they
in front of the French embassy.
Switched places.
Yeah.
So I think if in order for Commanding Officer Elmer Megabyte to come back, they would need to switch back.
Okay.
So goodbye. I'm starting to fade out now.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
I have loved you. I hope to see you again someday.
That's really sweet. I have loved you. It's a really nice thing to say. Okay, let's... Elmer, it's good to
Jeff, I'm back. I was in Mega City 2528.
I had the weirdest
experience. To the bathroom.
I had a really bad experience. It's like weird, like, he's not a time cop. He's just like a cop, like a Judge Dredd type of guy, but he forgot his crotch blaster. So it just got kind of kissy and weird.
Sounds nice.
Yeah, it was a little bit nice. He said, I have
I
loved
saw a
you,
couple of those guys where I was.
Me. Yeah, okay. Yeah, there are a bunch of them.
Yeah, they're all very sweet.
Let's review this film together, Elmer.
Yeah,
5 stars. Obviously, it's great.
You know, what we should do is go and leave some fake trivia on the IMDb page because we're no longer Jack and Tanner. We can no longer get in trouble.
Do you want to do that instead of reviewing the film?
We're Commanding Officer Elmer Megabyte and Sergeant Jeff Peabody.
Do you want to do that instead? Or as well.
Let's I don't know, up to you.
Let's get on IMDb.
Let's get on IMDb. Yeah.
Okay. We're not reviewing the film. We're going on IMDb.
Because they can't catch us. Because we'll already have gone back through time.
This makes me so nervous. Elmer always makes me do it because I'm the only one apparently who can log into IMDb.
Yeah, my computer doesn't have IMDb.
which is fucking bullshit.
I tried to install it. It didn't work. I don't, my computer just doesn't have it.
The lake. So I'm the one who's going to get arrested when they finally come for me.
Not this time, though.
So let's go on. We're going to go on IMDb. We're going to leave a plot. And I can't emphasize this enough. It has to be a plausible.
Yeah.
A plausible fact. So I don't get arrested. I don't get my IMDb account scrubbed and lose all of my fake news.
Yeah, I think it'll just be about how this film takes place in the... I think it will be your... Maybe we should add the fact about Keanu being hitting himself in the bus.
So we should mention that Christopher Plummer is in this movie and he came...
Christopher Plummer is his father.
From Somewhere in Time.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
He was also in Somewhere in Time.
So we're familiar with him. When we saw Christopher Plummer, I felt like he gave us a little nod.
He did.
We were
looking
with our little telescopes and he was like, I think I recognize you guys. Weren't you the guys who were talking really loud throughout the whole play?
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
That was us. And we were solving a crime, actually.
Yeah, we were actually
When I went to see Star Wars, the second sequel, The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
I was there with my wife and we were in Union Square, that big Union Square theater, really enjoying the film on opening day.
Yeah.
And the man next to me kept pulling out his cell phone and looking at it.
Oh,
and eventually it was so distracting that I leaned over to him and I said, excuse me, can you put away your phone? And he said, I'm a doctor.
That's not enough.
Is that not enough? It made me feel bad immediately, but it's also like, I don't care.
I don't give a shit.
Don't come to a movie then. What do you want?
And also, like, Doc, if you're like, here's what I'll say, Doc. It's either the case that you're getting urgent texts from your patients that require your doctorly attention, in which case, like, why are you watching the fucking Last Jedi?
Hospital.
Or you're a doctor and you're just fucking texting with your girlfriend or whatever and fucking
you're enjoying a film,
yeah.
So put away your phone.
Yeah, it's one of those two things. There's no in between. And, like, even by your own logic. So don't feel bad about that. Okay, so I'm on the page. I can't find... Last time, on Somewhere in Time, there was something that was called, like, cut scenes. But I don't think there's that.
Have they disabled your access to that?
Yeah, maybe. But there's something called Did You Know, and it's true. Oh, here
That's
we go.
Perfect.
Alternate versions. So do you want me to go to an alternate versions? I can add one item.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to do that. Okay, so here's an alternate version. In an early version...
Yes, in an early version of the script.
Of the script. And let's just get us in here.
Scintillating script.
I see, this is your instincts here are going to get us kicked off of IMDb.
It was a scintillating script. Sorry for trying to spice up my...
Here's what I can do. I'll say it in a
my
scintillating...
My language a little bit.
In a scintillating early version of the script. I don't see... I think that's the type of thing that's going to trigger the IMDb page. In an early version of the script, we'll get scintillating in there.
Well,
promise.
That's okay. We'll just go mano y mano with them. We're time cops.
Let's focus
It'll
on the
It'll be like
task
the
at
shootout at the OK
In an early version of the script, an early version.
I just can't. I'm not feeling it without the scintillating, and I need you to add it back in.
Okay, fine. A scintillating early version of the script. You're going to get me fucking canceled for this. A scintillating early version of the script. Featured. Real time travelers. This is what I want to say.
Okay, sure.
Featured actual time travelers.
Had Sandra Bullock and Keanu Reeves actually traveling through time,
what's her name? Alex and
Dr. Kate.
Dr. Kate interacting with actual time travelers.
Okay, right.
Should we just say names Jeff and Elmer?
Yeah.
Okay.
And took place in the Speed Universe.
I see. This is again. Your instincts are.
See that. How is that, Jack? How is that less plausible than an early script of this film had actual time travel in it?
I've got an instinct for this.
Your instincts are all off.
Names
they're unhoned.
Jeff and Elmer. They're seen throughout the film, spying on the protagonists.
Yeah, try to spot them
with a telescope. And then shall I do parentheses? See if you can spot them, exclamation point.
Yeah, I like that.
See, that's the kind of language. See if you can spot them. What do we want to say about them?
In the fiction of the universe, they are time cops. And they're here to... In this version of the script, they were sent to solve the time paradoxes.
They were sent to resolve This is good. Sent to resolve the time paradoxes generated by the, should we say, temporal mailbox? Or just sure. generated by the temporal mailbox?
Just say the lake house.
Generated by the lake house.
Yeah.
It's the name of the movie.
Synergy.
In this version of the script, they were sent to resolve the time paradoxes generated by the lake house. This is good. I think this is plausible.
And have we done that, by the way, Jeff?
Should we say in the dog?
you think it's the dog?
Should we just say concluding that the dog was central?
Or the tree.
Let's say the dog. Concluding that the dog...
Or Jane Austen.
I think the dog... what's his name? Her name? Jack. Was responsible.
And therefore, what did you say?
Neutralized. That's going to get us kicked off IMDb. We need to walk this... We need to tone it down. See, this is the thing about IMDb.
I'm going to try to... My job, Jack, here... Sorry, my job, Jeff, here...
Yeah.
...is to get you as close to that line as we can get, you know? And if I have to step over it every now and then just to give you a little tug...
I understand.
Then I have to do that.
Concluding that the dog, Jack, was responsible for the temporal anomalies. The temporal... See, this is getting a little...
You think their bots are crawling this looking for...
It's not bots, it's people. It's people, I know. I got a thumbs up from like a guy last time. It was like, this checks out.
Last time it was ridiculous.
Last time I also...
Let's see what we can get away with.
Concluding we're the not dog, even, Jack.
We're doing it as Jeff and Elmer. So
I'm going to say responsible for the anomaly in the time
scot
stream.
Free.
In the time stream. And what should we say? And removing him from the situation.
Yeah. I think you're okay to say neutralize.
Removing her from the situation.
I do think it needs to be clear that we, the characters of Jeff and Elmer, have dealt with the time crime.
Should I say neutralizing her?
Yes, I think you should.
No, that's not going to work.
Do it.
Removing her from the situation. Neutralizing is going to get us dinged.
It won't, because you're talking about the script.
So let's say why it was rejected. It was felt that this complicated the movie too much.
The podcast. I mean, the movie.
Okay. I think that's enough. That's as much as we can get away with. Let me read this back to you.
Yep.
A scintillating early version of the script had Alex and Dr. Kate interacting with actual time travelers named Jeff and Elmer. They're seen throughout the film spying on the protagonist with a telescope. See if you can spot them. In this version of the script, they were sent to resolve the time paradoxes generated by the lake house.
So they shot that version.
Yeah.
And then they went back and they're like, no, we got to do it over. We got to write a new script and completely reshoot the film. But we may leave some shots from the first version in. So see if you can spot Jeff and Elmer. Perfect.
That's perfect. I like that because it's daring the IMDb reviewer to be like, it's in the movie. Just you look. You can watch. You know?
You go look. Rent the film.
Yeah.
And go look for them.
In this version of the script, they were sent to resolve the time paradoxes generated by the lake house, concluding that the dog Jack was responsible for the anomaly in the time stream and neutralizing her. It was felt that this complicated the movie too much. Should I say film?
Yeah.
I know you're going to want to add a scintillating
script.
In there.
Just say the script, because it's not a film yet, right?
Okay. Script. No, I think movie is good.
Okay.
Okay. Good?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Cut and print. I think that's a good one.
Yeah, I think that's
I think
good.
We did good work today.
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to get in trouble for that, but I kind of hope you do. Does that make me a jerk?
Okay, so I can track it. So thank you for your contribution to IMDb. The information you have supplied is being processed by our team.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, and I just got an email from IMDb support in my, so they know literally exactly who I am.
Thank you for your service, IMDb support. Please don't come after us. We are time cops.
Yeah.
And we'll blast you right through time.
We will. And we'll withhold kisses from you.
Yeah.
Arbiter Tanner.
That's what I mean.
That's
what I mean by blast.
That's, I think, all the time we have for today.
Yeah, I didn't have a burn. It's not a funny movie in any way.
It's fun, though.
It's a good movie, and I enjoyed watching it, but it's like, it's a drama. Like, it's not, they didn't put
jokes
in it.
They're a perfect couple. What, if they tried it?
Tried the mailbox thing?
Keanu and Sandra, no, kissing, smooching, in a real, outside of a movie. Come on, guys! Jesse James isn't right for you.
I'd be pretty curious to see if they tried the mailbox thing, too.
Yeah, I'd be curious too. And folks, nobody go ahead with that dating game concept. That's ours. We just got one little minor kink to iron out. But once
as
we do,
as soon as we crack that,
we're off to the fucking races.
Yeah.
Arbiter Tanner, I'd like to thank you. I mean, sorry. Elmer, I'd like to thank you so very much for bearing with me this week.
You need the full title, please.
Officer in charge.
Commanding officer.
Commanding officer Elmer.
Megabyte.
Throb Gristle.
Megabyte.
Okay. Megabyte. I'd like to thank you very much for bearing with me this week. I'd like to thank the baby bees and the sex bugs.
What my wife thinks upstairs sometimes, just hearing me yell the word megabytes three times.
Wasn't there a time on the Patreon where you pretended to be a bat and squealed so loud that you woke the baby and got in like actual real trouble?
Yeah. And that's just one reason to go and subscribe to the Patreon.
Patreon.com/BSCCpodcast.
Disturb my entire family by pretending to be a bat.
If that doesn't persuade you, I don't know what will. Patreon.com/BSCCpodcast. We've got a whole back catalog of things where we sing parody songs about the Little Sister books, and also now we're talking about the TGIF shows. So you can go back and listen to endless content, or you can get started at a more manageable amount of content that's just recently started, and it's tons of fun, and everyone loves it, and it's rave reviews. Patreon.com/BSCCpodcast. Also, join our Facebook group. You can leave comments in the Facebook group like, Arbiter Tanner can't have guns anymore, and that becomes part of the lore of the show. So isn't that fun and a good reason to join Baby Nation on Facebook?
Yeah, you can make him a kissy guy instead. And maybe someday he and Mr. Kiss will...
Yeah, they'll meet up. Yeah.
Meet up.
That would be something. Wow.
An epic showdown. I don't know what how it'll manifest, but...
Please rate and review the show and recommend it to a friend. This week we did watch...
this episode.
this episode. This week we watched a movie. That movie was, of course, called The Lake House.
Yep.
Next week, the only thing I can think of is Sarah recommended a movie where Reese Witherspoon and
Mark Ruffalo ghosts. Are
one of them's a ghost. Should we watch that?
Yeah, I think so.
What's it called?
My Dead Ex-Boyfriend or something like that. I don't remember.
Just Like Heaven.
Just Like Heaven.
Next week, we're going to be watching a film called Just Like Heaven. Look forward to that. Imagine it's going to be you and me again, Elmer, but who knows?
Could it? I think that's an entirely different division.
Yeah, okay.
If it's ghost stuff.
Yeah. We'll have to bring out the spectral guys. Spectral. Yeah. Looking forward to that. All that remains is for me to say that this week I have, of course, been Jeff Peabody, Lieutenant Jeff Peabody of the Time Crimes Unit.
Yeah, and my name is Commanding Officer Elmer Megabyte of the Time Crimes Unit, over and out.
And I hope that you find your time travel-y ever after.
Whoa! Time travel noise.
We might be childhood friends, and I might drive you around the bend, but I'm sure it's crazy kids to work it out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose, but I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows.
Be very